Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened at anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, then complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Amen?
And please be seated.
Say please be seated, but I think we should do it reverse, because in Jewish tradition and even early Greek, I would get to sit the whole time that you stood and listened to me. Okay, cultures change. We recognize that. So, what's on your mind? Oh, never mind. No, really, I don't mind. Hey, mind your own business. Out of sight, out of mind. Would you make up your mind? That just like blows my mind. Maybe I'll give you a piece of my mind. You must be out of your mind. There are so many ways that we use the word and make reference to the word mind. And here we have it once again. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Recall that when we approach this before, mind has the idea of a mindset or an attitude. It's not just the thought processes. It's not just taking and absorbing information, but it's the mindset and attitude by which we function. Mahatma Gandhi has been credited as saying, your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. And your actions become your habits. Let me say this again. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. And your actions become your habits. So in essence, where our mindset is focused, there our life will be lived out. Where our mind is directed, that is the way we will head with the remainder of our lives. I can't think one way and function another. Unless you have some other issues going on, which we're not addressing here this morning. You can see Christine about that later. For the past several weeks, since we started in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, we have been talking about this mindset, this attitude that we should have. So when we come to verse 5, you need to realize that this is not a new concept. Paul is not like putting the period at the end of verse 4 like it is in our Bibles. He doesn't put the period in there and then say, okay, stop, pause, shift directions, now we're moving on. As a matter of fact, he's saying this is a continuation of what we've already been talking about. Because remember when Paul wrote the letter, he didn't start with chapter 1, verse 1. Right? That's all afterthought on our part to help us in communication and finding stuff. So Paul's thought is continuous. Chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, and then into chapter 2 through verse 5, and even following, it is a continuation. Having this mindset is central to what Paul is talking about. And this morning I want to make two observations from verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. The first observation I want to make is this. There is a choice. There's a choice. Some have estimated that the average adult makes approximately 35,000 conscious decisions each day. I'm just here to say that's not feasible. I mean, our minds are miraculous things, but actually if you do the math, it's a little exaggerated. However, on a much more conservative side, it is believed that we have about 1,500 decisions per day. 1,500 decisions per day. Consciously, yes, that we are aware of, remotely conscious. So even in the back burner of our mind, something that's going on, it is suggested that 226.7 of them, out of the 1,500 decisions, conscious decisions, it is suggested that 226.7 of those decisions are food related. I don't know. 226.7. Is that crazy or what? I mean, that's how much we think about food and actually make decisions concerning food. Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. This phrase among yourselves literally is in you, and it was a common Greek idiom. It meant more on a social level than it did a cerebral level. To have it among yourselves was an act of saying us together socially. But as we've already mentioned this morning, in order to get there socially, in order for us to live that direction, it has to start in our own mind. Our thoughts become words. Our words become actions. Our actions become habits. Our habits are what all of us get to see. And so if we want to be living in this mindset that Christ has established, that Paul is calling us to, we have to start in the mind. But it implies this ability to choose. The ability to choose to have this mindset. There's a great debate about our ability to choose theologically. This whole idea of free will. Two things. First, there is nothing free. I know a lot of you want to push back right now and say, no, my salvation is free. No, it's not. It cost the life of Jesus Christ. And if we were sincere about salvation, we would understand Jesus says you are to count the cost. So it costs us our own life in the process. Salvation is not free. There is a cost to it. Secondly, what we need to wrestle with is, regardless of where you fall on that debate, God gives freedom of choice in so many areas of our lives. Otherwise, we are just robots that God has programmed to do. There is freedom of choice in this process, yes. And so Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. Make a choice. As we continue to live in a highly consumeristic society and world, we're constantly confronted with choices. Constantly confronted with choices. Following the ways of Jesus is a choice which I have to make every moment. Jesus is always an option in every choice we have to make. Always an option. We don't ever get to go, bubblegum, chocolate, Jesus. Nah, forget Jesus. Bubblegum or chocolate. No, Jesus is always an option. That's why we know there's always a way out in temptation. Because Jesus is always an option. So following the ways of Jesus is a choice I have to make in every moment, and it requires intentionality. Making the choice to have the mindset of Christ is not haphazard. It requires intentionality. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We visited there in the past couple of weeks. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, Paul again writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Pause there for a second. I love this. Paul says, I appeal to you how? By the mercies of God. You know, Paul could have easily paused right there and said, I appeal to you by the justice of God. Get your life in order. But that's not his response. He says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. He who forgives generously and loves unconditionally, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Go to verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So guess what has to happen? There has to be a shift that goes on. Every moment of our life calls for a renewal of the mind. He goes on, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So keep this in mind. Paul's appealing by the mercies of God. On behalf of God's mercy, become transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on, and we talked about this in the past couple weeks. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How do I get to that point? A renewed mind. Recognize and accepting the mercies of God. The appeal is God's mercy. The call is for transformation by a renewal of the mind, which results then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and following. The unity of the body of Christ. Self-care, as we talked about last week, and loving myself, but also saying, I'm not the only one here. There are others, and therefore I look also to the interests of others. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus. Some of our Bibles, I think the NIV in particular, says fixing our eyes. Does anybody else have something like that? Fixing our eyes? I don't know if the KJV or the NKJV says it. Or what's that? NASB, NLT is keeping our eyes. Okay, that Greek word there, fixing our eyes, keeping our eyes. I like fixing, and I need to write to the ESV and have them change it. I like fixing. Because the Greek word brings this idea. Do you remember what repentance means? Right. Doing a 180, right? You're going this direction. Repentance is stop, turn around, and go another direction. Fixing our eyes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, is stop looking at whatever you're looking at and readjust them. And the author of Hebrews says, I don't care what you're looking at right now. Stop looking at it and fix them on Jesus. In our world, full of choices, and I don't care whether you believe there's 1,500 or 35,000 in a day, it doesn't matter. A world full of choices, we have the opportunity and the option to stop gazing at whatever calls our attention and look to Jesus. That's what Paul's saying when he says, have the mindset. Have this mind. Let me have the kids come up. Come on, Haley. Joe, are you cold? Oh. Haley's got a coat that's like a sleeping bag. By the way, great job up here this morning. It's awesome to see our kids engage in ministry and worship. Wow. We're going to have to like start kicking some adults out of here so that we can have more space for the kids. Okay, every morning, you get up and you have some breakfast, and then after breakfast, you might not have the choice. We're going to pretend it's a choice. To go into the bathroom and do what? Yeah, brush your teeth. Right? And then sometimes in the evening before we go to bed, do we go brush our teeth? You know what one of the most complicated choices is? Have any idea? In this process? Whether to really do it or not, whether to listen to mom and dad, yeah. Deciding what? Exactly, deciding which toothpaste to use. Look at this. That's an aisle in a grocery store. I think it might be a Target. Please do not make any comments. I looked in my house. Looked in my house. In our house, now granted, you can all see we can go to the dentist occasionally. We had four different types of toothpaste. Okay? Let me just help you to understand how difficult of a task this is to undergo. I looked up, there are 35 different brands of toothpaste in this world. 35 different brands. Okay? So like Crest and Colgate and AIM and Sensodyne, those are all the brands, okay? 35 brands. By the way, let me back up for a second. There are somewhere, because it depends on the dentist and orthodontist that you ask and stuff like that, there are somewhere between 5 and 7 types of toothpaste. There's whitening toothpaste. There's fluoride toothpaste. Okay, so there's 5 to 7 different types. There are 35 brands. I looked up Crest for fun. You guys all heard of Crest toothpaste? Yeah, we've got 2 of them. 2 Crests. And so one is Pro Health Advanced Gum Protection, and one is Crest Cavity Protection. Okay? Crest, one of 35 brands. Are you tracking with me? How many brands? 35. Crest has 8 different categories of toothpaste. 8. In each of those 8 categories, there is a minimum of 3 different toothpastes. So Crest has at least 24 different toothpastes to choose from. So which one are you going to choose? Crest. Well, they've got a lot of options, but I actually tried to find out how many different toothpastes there are, and I don't know. I couldn't find a number. But isn't that crazy? So the thought of trying to choose which toothpaste to use. Now, that's kind of a silly example, right? But do we have choices that we get to make every day? No? You're told what to do, and that's all there is to it? Wow, Victoria, you run a tight ship. You give your kids no choices whatsoever, huh? Here's the food, eat it or don't. That's the choice. So you do have a choice. You can eat this for dinner or you can eat it for breakfast. It's your choice, right? So you do have a choice in the process, right? Sort of a choice. It's kind of a forced choice, right? But it's still a choice. I can either eat it for dinner or breakfast, you know. I wish that I would have that choice between, like, chocolate, dinner or breakfast. How about both? You know, can I do that? Just breakfast. Okay. So what are some of the other choices that you guys have? How about when you're playing with siblings, since I've got a couple siblings here. When you're playing with siblings, you're going to have a sibling soon too, so this is going to be a choice you have to make. And that is, do I share or do I not share? You share nothing. The choice has already been made, right? What other choices? Do you get to choose the clothes that you wear in the morning? You were just going to say that. You get to choose which clothes you want to wear. Sometimes you get some advice, right? It's cold outside. You might want to wear pants. What shoes you want to wear? Yeah. So there's lots of choices. And as you grow and you start getting into like high school, you're going to have to choose what classes you want to take. If you go on to college, you know, what classes at some point in time, many of us will have to choose, like, are we going to date this guy or this girl or not date this guy or this girl, right? There's a lot of choices that go on in life. But And I know some of us feel like we never had a choice, but, you know, we all had a choice. I did have a choice. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I know people who have felt like they didn't have a choice. My prearranged marriage was a choice. You can ask my wife about it sometime. But there is a most important choice that we have to decide as a family. What is that? To follow God or not. And every day and every moment we get to make that choice. So when I'm out on the playground, or when I'm at the park and I'm goofing off, when I'm in the homeschool group and there's other kids, or when I'm at church and I'm playing in the back, there's always a choice. Am I going to listen to God? Am I going to follow Jesus? Or am I going to do what I want to do? Right? Often that choice comes down to two things. What if what you want to do is follow God? Awesome. Then I guess we better be listening carefully to hear what he says, right? Okay, we're going to continue talking about this idea, but we have lots of choices to make in life. And the most important one is whether we're going to listen to God and follow Jesus. Okay, so now you have a choice to go back and sit down and not get anything from the audio booth, or you can choose to go back and see what they have there for you. You're going to take the second one. I don't entirely blame. There's a lot of choices in life, are there not? There are a lot of choices in life. I can choose to write that letter, or send that text, or make that phone call, or I can choose to bite my tongue. I can choose to love somebody. A lot of choices in life. The second observation I want to make from this verse this morning is, where is the source of unity? We're talking about having this mindset, and it's a choice to have this mindset. But if we look back at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul gives us a very delineated answer in this process. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ. Some of the translations say, which is yours in Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ. How do we get this mindset? It is yours in Christ. It is in Christ that we get this mindset. This is not a mindset that we concoct. Rather, it's a mindset that we live out. Paul doesn't point us towards right theology, but to the right person of Jesus Christ. In the following verses, which you'll actually get to look at next week with Larry. I won't be around for the next couple of weeks, and so Larry and Caleb are going to preach. But in those next few verses, Paul gives us this inside look at this mindset of Christ. We can read through them very quickly. Who, that is Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And I'm going to just summarize the mindset of Christ in two ways. One, humility. And two, whatever God wanted, whatever the Father wanted. So in humility, he walked out whatever the Father wanted. The mind of Christ, which leads towards ongoing humility, is the mind of Christ that leads to the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the gospel of Christ. Life transformation so that we look like Christ. We think like Christ. Go back to Gandhi's quote. We think like Christ, therefore we speak like Christ. We speak like Christ, therefore we act like Christ. And we act like Christ, therefore our life looks like Christ. Our thoughts form our words, our actions, our habits. So if we have the mindset of Christ, then his life will naturally flow out of us. By the way, Jesus' mindset didn't finish at the cross. if we were to look back, and we're not going to, if we were to look back at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, remember it said, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him did what? Endured the cross. The cross was part of the journey, not the end game. And so the mindset is one that says, I look beyond whatever it is that I'm facing to the joy that's set before me on the other side. And I work my way through. Further, Paul makes implication that this mindset is something we already have as believers, but we need to live into it. This is a mindset, much like the righteousness of Jesus, that we are granted when we come into relationship with Jesus. The mindset of Jesus is ours to be had. We just need to live into it, which is really the choice that we have to make. Will I live into and flesh out the mindset of Christ? Or will I do my own thing? When we look at the life of Christ, he embodied his message of the gospel. He embodied the message of the gospel. Yes, he spoke about the gospel, but he embodied the message of the gospel and everything that he said, did, the way he acted, all of that kind of stuff. The way he welcomed little children to himself. The way in which he ate with religiously arrogant and outcast common people of society. The way in which he touched the culturally condemned lepers. The way in which he healed the blind who were thought to have been involved in sin. The way in which he confronted the spiritual forces in casting out demons. The way in which he took time aside for Sabbath. The way in which he communed with the Father in prayer and retreat. The way in which he extended compassion to the brokenhearted. The way in which he confronted sin in love and mercy. Or Selah. I told you I was going to preach quick. Because I want us to do something. I want us to go ahead and group up in 5, 6, 7 persons. So go ahead, make a mess of the chairs. I won't be here to care about it. So group up together in 5 or 6. Look, I recognize we've got a variety of introverts, extroverts. When you're in the group, you don't have to say anything. And I'll explain, this is a group exercise. So, you know, one person can dominate it, but they don't have to. So just group up. You know what that means. We've done this before. It's not the first time. Okay, group up, 5, 6, 7 people in a group. Bailey, Caleb, can I have you guys hand out a couple pieces of paper to each group? One or two. Each group will need a scribe. You know what that is, somebody to write stuff down. Each group will need a scribe, so whoever that scribe is, we're coming along with blank pages, so one or two. If you are online, then I encourage you to grab a piece of paper, do this exercise as well online. Have your Bible, have some paper, have a pen or a pencil. Hey. 5 to 7. If we get too far beyond that, you're not going to actually get accomplished what we need to. Hey, 10, cut it in half. 5. 5 to 7. Do I need to come around and count for you? If the kids are of elementary age, they count. I'll let you make that judgment call. I'll be gracious in that element. Okay. Shh. You're right. You're not. Yet. Okay. I'm going to do the teacher thing. If I put my hand up, you need to... Okay? So who's your scribe? Scribe? Raise your hand if you're a scribe. Every group has a scribe. Scribe? Every group back there's got a scribe? Okay, and group back there's got a scribe? Do you have a scribe yet? Yes, okay, we've got a scribe. Here's what you're going to do. How soon do you want to be out of here? Did somebody say right now? Did I hear somebody say right now? I have super ears. The guilty party has been identified, Kaya. I do appreciate the honesty, though. That is one thing I never have to wonder about you, Kaya, is whether you're being honest with me or not. Okay, here's the assignment. So I will give you... Okay, we're not doing too shabby, so I'm going to give you 15 minutes. Okay? 15 minutes... and here's what I want you to do. As a group, you are going to brainstorm as much as you can. What was the mindset of Jesus while he walked this earth? What was his mindset? And give scripture reference. So again, you don't have to, like, doesn't have to be chapter and verse. I'm going to give you two examples. Adults, if you're talking now, that means you're not listening to me. Thank you. Two examples. The mindset of Jesus. Example number one, Jesus wasn't influenced by cultural expectations. Jesus wasn't influenced by cultural expectations. The woman at the well. He didn't care that he was a woman, and he didn't care that she was Samaritan. Okay, so he himself. I'm not saying there weren't cultural influences pressuring him. I'm saying Jesus didn't care about cultural influences. Okay, number two. Example number two. Jesus was comfortable with relative obscurity. Jesus was comfortable with relative obscurity from age 12. Now again, we understand he grew in stature and prominence and all this kind of stuff, but from age 12 to approximately age 30, we know nothing about Jesus. And he doesn't seem bothered by that whatsoever. Jesus was comfortable with relative obscurity. Now, let me just counter this. Today, in our age, our mindset is that we're concerned about what society says. Right? That's why we have this whole thing called political correctness. Okay? The other thing is, we struggle living in relative obscurity. If people don't know me and don't know what's going on in my life, I'm bothered by that. Hence Facebook, Twitter, you go on and on and on, social media, so that people know who I am. Okay? All right, 15 minutes, go. So, does everybody, if you have more than three things written down, scribe, raise your hand. So is that every scribe's got more than three? Hey, group in the back, you're done. Victoria? Do you have more than three things written down? Do you have more than three things written down? Okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm giving you 5 minutes, and you need to narrow that list to the top three that describe the mindset of Jesus. You've got 5 minutes. You need to narrow down to the top three. Top three, go. Time's up. I still see a lot of adults talking. Time's up. Okay. 2 minutes to narrow to one. After you narrow to one, your scribe comes up and writes it up here on the board just in a legible fashion. 2 minutes, go. From the three to one. From the three to one and write the one up on the board here. In case you can't see them, I'm going to read them. You can jot them down if you want to. Obedience. Selfless, left heaven, suffered imperfect humans, even to the point of death. Leadership and building up and sending out. that it's okay to be human. We are made in his image. For example, mourning for Lazarus. This was changed, so I need to read it correctly now. Humility, baptized by John, he did not count equality with God. To do the will of the Father at all costs. Kingdom, destiny mindset. Reveal the heart of the Father. Eternal perspective. Content in earthly suffering. Saving souls versus popularity, wealth, power. Mindset of confronting even minor sin because he was concerned about the heart. So here's the thing. As the body of OCC on Sunday morning, February 28th, 2021, we have just said that these are the top 10 things in the life of Jesus that are important to us. That's what we have said. Imagine if we just practice those 10 things. And you guys have lists of things. But as we allow this to filter and disseminate, and I'm going to trust that Holy Spirit has been a part of this process. This is not just some random act that Pastor Terry had you do, right? I trust Holy Spirit's been involved in this process. And so as we look at this, we go, so God, if we had to narrow down the mindset of Jesus Christ for us today, what would it look like? And what we have said is this is what it would look like. I'm going to put up two questions. Boom, boom. And Deb's going to find some beautiful background music for us for a couple of minutes. And whether you focus on those 10 and you kind of reflect on, you know, where am I at with this? Or the two questions, where does or doesn't Jesus enter into my decisions through a day? Where does or doesn't he enter? And then number two, where is or isn't humility a mark of my mindset as indicated by my life? We can talk about humility all day long, but where is it or isn't it evident in how I live and how other people see me? So again, I just invite us to contemplate and say, God, what is it that you're saying to me right now, whether through those questions or through these, you know, this laid out little bit of list, but let's just take a couple of moments and reflect on what God is saying to us process this morning.